Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Craig Ruffalo, Vice President here at McKinney Flavelle, and today is Friday, February 12th, right ahead of that Hallmark-famed weekend of Valentine's Day, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm filling in as the host for our faithful leader, Mike Coughlin, and today I have, as he says, the analyst to the stars, Mr. Jeffrey Rosinski. Hey, happy Friday, Jeffrey. How you doing, buddy?
Great to be with you this Friday, Craig. And it's Friday the 12th, not Friday the 13th. And you know what? Today is the anniversary of. There's two important things that occurred on this day.
Oh, gosh. Let it go. What are they?
Well, today is the anniversary of Lincoln's birthday, number one, because we've got President's holiday coming up next week. And
well, happy birthday, Abraham.
And for those that are chomping at the bit, today is the first day for tax filing season for 2020.
Oh my gosh. My neighbor, who's a CPA, will love to hear that you're reminding people to get all their forms in there and get that tax stuff to them so they can help you guys out. I've seen a lot of advertisements coming out, so I kind of figured we were getting into that mode. Wow, gosh, can you believe it? I mean, we're already into mid-February. I don't know where January went.
Well, having had 25 inches of snow to shovel over the last week and a half, I guess I have my choice of whether I can shovel snow or start my taxes. You know, it's like, death by lethal injection versus death by electric chair.
I'm really not jealous of you at all at this point here in California. We haven't had to shovel snow in my entire life. So I'm not going to complain about that at all. Yeah, it's crazy. I think Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, so 6 more weeks of winter. So I guess you better keep your shovel ready.
That is correct. And you and I were joking just before we opened this call. I said, stop sending all that moisture off from the West Coast out this way, because it's combining with that Arctic pressure system that has come down. The polar vortex is what they call it across the Midwest, and it's that magical recipe of the two. That big pocket of cold air mass, along with all that moisture that's been pumped in, not only off the Pacific but the Gulf, that's resulted in this very wintry pattern here in the latter half of winter season 2021.
Man, I'll tell you, well, that's actually a great lead in to today's topic. You know, one of the things that we've been monitoring over the last 5 to 6 months has been the volatility in food-based commodities, whether it's the grains complex, the cocoa market, the world sugar market. But one that we haven't really talked a whole lot about is the energy complex. And, you know, it impacts so many commodities and, frankly, everyday life for you and I and others out there. It's an interesting dynamic because, you know, back just over a year ago, we saw crude oil at negative $30+ a barrel for a very short period of time. Whoever would have thought you would have seen a market go negative as far as a commodity price. But here we stand today, and the crude oil market seems to be on a pretty bullish to price run in the last 30 to 60 days. Is it a change of the administration? Is it a change in the formatting of where the oil industry and energy is looked at in total based on the administration changes, or other factors going on? And thought maybe we could touch on your thoughts surrounding that marketplace and, of course, how that might impact natural gas and the like. So what is the main driver for this push to $60 crude oil?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen a surge in pricing. As you mentioned, we had a very historic time period back last year at the end of the first quarter when prices actually went to a negative implied valuation. Now, that was an extreme one-off. I think that was brought out by the shutdown of the economies brought on by COVID as it spread around the world. And I think things have now kind of returned back to more of a period of normalcy, although we're still in the process of reopening. You know, the recovery in pricing is attributed to just that, as people get vaccinated and the economy start to open up and travel and returning to offices. Although, you know, recently in the last 24 hours, OPEC has revised its previous announcement of when they expect recovery to really be upon us to the second half of this year rather than the first half. So just in an announcement over the last 24 hours, in fact, they cut or trimmed their barrel per day of consumption down to 5.79 million barrels, which, you know, was a cut from their previous forecast by about 110 barrels per day a month ago. So they are slowly seeing things starting to reopen and starting to recover, although they're kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit from a resumption of demand.
It does sound like that. I mean, obviously, if you're going into a reduction mode, there's two motivations. One, you're trying to double down on an increase on the bullish to price run and support that. And two, it's a signal that maybe we're not quite there on consumption and we still are gaining inventories and we need to maybe slow down overall production. Right. Fracking, is that now cost competitive in your mind at $60 crude save for the Canadian oil sands and such?
Well, I think the more interesting thing is, from a political standpoint, you do have a change of administration, and U.S. not only in rejoining the Paris Accord in terms of climate change, but also with the executive order that the Biden administration signed on banning of extension of drilling activities in ANWR, or the Arctic Wildlife National Refuge.
The pipeline, that's right.
Yeah, and the Keystone Pipeline. So there's been a number of kind of key things that are potentially trimming outputs of production forecast in some of some of the out years that are, I think, slowly changing people's perspective on what the U.S. will likely produce in the coming years. But we have seen prices, to your point, kind of surge back to $60 a barrel. We're off and running again today. So crude, as I look at it on screen here today, we're up about another $1.25 today. And the distillate products, specifically heating oil and gasoline, are up strongly as well. Gasoline almost up a nickel on the spot nearby contract. So, I think some of that is showing because of the demand of the cold weather that's been brought on by this polar vortex, that's going to keep things pretty cold, according to the NOAA forecast, over the next 2 weeks. So,
there you go. So heating oil is certainly on the rise due to that. I mean, you guys can attest to it in the Northeast, and I would certainly suggest and subscribe to those in the upper Midwest. Well, heck, I mean, they were talking about single digits down in Fort Worth, and you saw the tragedy that went on down there yesterday with the black ice. So, that's a pretty unusual time period for that. It's not that it doesn't happen down in the Texas area. It can get that cold, but to single digits, that's a little bit of an anomaly in my opinion. So I obviously people are going to be needing to have their heating coming on, and heating oil, here we go. So with six more weeks of winter.
When you think about it from a commodity perspective, something like sugar is immediately obvious when you've got overnight lows with the wind chills of 35 below. That's going to be good news, if you can believe that or not, if you're up in like Fargo in that area, because it's going to be great for freezing those piles and keeping them in great shape and prevent weeping and fermentation and losses of sugars from those piles. But if you're one of the people down in Texas, like I said, involved in that, 135 car pileup, or even frost or freeze warnings for the Houston metro areas over this weekend, it just shows you the anomaly that's being experienced. And then energy obviously has that indirect tie-in for all people who are involved with buying and purchasing of commodities, because it affects your refining margins, your freight and transportation costs in terms of fuel surcharge with over-the-road charges, et cetera. So it does have some very far-reaching impact.
So do you think sometimes people will look at the natural gas to crude oil? Some people will say an inverse relationship as you're starting to get higher prices for crude oil and you encourage more drilling. You might see the offset of having a little more natural gas, and the LNG that we've had increased over the years here in the United States. Do you see the potential for natural gas to have a little bit of a dip in the short term, or is this something that's they may tag along with one another because you're still in the winter and you still need heating oil? What's your kind of take on where the natural gas market might be going?
Yeah, so a great question. I would say, two things are really impacting the natural gas market. And you're absolutely right, Craig, when you say in years past, when the price of crude oil was higher and people were drilling to extract that crude oil, by default, they would get a lot of natural gas as like a byproduct credit, if you will. So the two tended to trade historically anyway in an inverse fashion. So higher crude oil prices would encourage crude extraction, and then that would tend to, provide oversupply of gas in the market and depress prices there. The two biggest changes have been, the pipeline export gas that we're sending down to like Mexico, as well as LNG exports. So the U.S. has actually become one of the largest producers of natural gas and a fairly large exporter in the global markets. So, for me, I think the big question, we saw a lot of shut-in of rigs last year, where a lot of the economics when you get down below $2 on the NYMEX price, it no longer makes sense to actually operate those platforms. So they're inactivated and they're shut down. And I think the big question is whether you'll see the rig count start to recover now that prices have moved up steadily across the energy complex. And with that recovery, will we be extracting enough to be able to keep up not only with domestic demand, but also some of that export flow, whether it's pipeline or LNG export. Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a race. It'll be a race between those two things, with like how quickly is demand recovering versus how much are we extracting. But the good news is we only have about 45 days to maybe 2 months left in the traditional heating season. So our heavy demand use, despite this cold, shot of cold weather we're experiencing right now over the next 2 weeks, hopefully it'll be short-lived and we'll be turning the corner here once we get to the month of April and we'll get into the more seasonal build time of the year. So I'm encouraged by that.
Excellent. So again, if you're trying to extract where we're headed with this and our bias, it sounds like to me, Jeffrey, and your bias is that short term we're going to have a little bit of a rocky volatile market here as we kind of settle in to see where we are with overall production. And then as you get into the full mode and you get out of the winter months, you could see a little bit of an opportunity for a dip or a reversal in trend on the price direction for natural gas. And I can tell you that if you're a farmer, not only are you thinking about it on the fuel side for where crude might be going, but on the natural gas side, if you're looking at inputs, not just for where your house or with your barn or anything else that you might be running on, but you're also looking at input costs from fertilizers, anhydrous, potash.
That's right.
Those are also impacted a lot by where we're going, anhydrous, with natural gas prices. So not only are you looking at it from an energy standpoint, but also an input cost for you're a farmer putting nutrients back into the ground.
Yeah. And then lastly, the thing that you alluded to, which was, Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, and apparently that implies six more weeks of winter. So how early a spring season do we get? So how quickly can the farmer get the seed in the ground this coming spring? And we're a little more than a month away from the end of March planting intentions report, which, everyone's going to be eyeballing quite closely with some of these high commodity prices and whether that will encourage farmers to try to raise acreage or what they plan to grow this season.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I've had some initial conversations surrounding the sugar beet industry, and the early thoughts on that is probably flat on acreage. There's some concern with $13 soybeans and near $6 corn that you could potentially see some farmers abandon sugar beet acreage and pay a penalty to the co-ops and grow other crops. But the sugar beet industry, I think, is pretty satisfied with the acreage base that they get. And being a co-op, you're generally tended to sign up for the acres and you're obligated to plant those. So I don't know that I'd see a lot of abandonment there. But the corn market is the one that's got my attention on that. And we can always talk about that later, folks, if you're interested to understand what I mean by that. It's a crop rotation. It's a gross revenue per acre. And right now, just on the futures market, it looks like it would appear to support corn over beans on a rotation, looking at the November soybeans versus December corn. However, you do have to take into consideration input costs. And so that would also be implied as part of this discussion. But rounding it out, because we could go on forever on talking about this, is that generally the bias that I've seen in the commodity complex, and that's included of all soft commodities, including maybe even you can throw in the currencies on the outside looking in on this. But it seems that we're on a bullish to price run here. It seems like commodities seems to be the place where money is coming into. Do you have any sense in your world and the way you're looking at this, if there's an extension of this going on for the next 6 months, 12 months? Is this a bullish rally that's going to perpetuate for another 18 months? Is it a crop cycle? What's kind of your last take on where the overall index of commodity prices are headed?
Yeah, Craig, there's been a lot written on whether this is, we're experiencing what's been referred to as a super cycle or kind of a bullish or inflationary cycle for commodity pricing. We've seen everything from metals, copper, precious metals, gold, as well as, coarse grains, whether you're talking about corn, soybeans, wheat, all of those have been on quite a tear recently. I think some of that has been fueled by weakness of the dollar, because a lot of those are dollar denominated. So as the dollar has fallen with this very accommodative monetary policy that the Fed has maintained with near 0% interest rates, I think that's part of it. I think the bigger piece will be, what does a post-COVID economy look like in recovery? Do we, and I think, not to kind of pass the buck on this one, but I do believe we're in somewhat uncharted territory. How long will we all be wearing masks? At what point do we achieve,
Hey, my wife might ask me to keep wearing it after COVID.
Yeah, at what point do we reach that, that proverbial herd immunity, where we get 85-90% of the population that's been vaccinated, and people feel freed up to be able to travel again without feeling like they're in strict quarantine. And where do those demand numbers look relative to 2019? I know the airlines are prepping for it. They're starting to rehire again. I know there was an article out this morning. I think Spirit Airlines was talking about bringing additional pilots and ground crews on to resume operations back to normal levels. But when do we see that? I think that's the bigger question mark is how quickly does that come?
I agree.
And I think that demand will really drive where those commodity prices ultimately go.
Yeah, I tend to have the same opinion as you do on this. I think that the demand curve is the key element to whether or not this is a supportive component for pricing long term past this maybe current crop cycle. If it doesn't come back in total like most people are hoping, because that would mean the economy is rebounding, we could have a little bit of a reversal in trend as far as overall commodity prices, because once you get back to a stocks building versus a stocks reducing mode, that tends to trigger the markets to come back towards maybe more neutral. So we'll see. The speculative interest is the one that's curious to me, is because it seems that the bloatedness of equities is now found a reason for people to maybe in the index funds to move their money from equities and treasuries as a no-go for any kind of profit. So they put it into something else for safe harbor. And when you're trying to make a currency hedge, it might be commodities that you're attempting to put forth. So I think once you even signal that they're going to do some liquidation, even if it's short term, those are buy opportunities, in my opinion, in this kind of volatility that we're seeing. So out there, ladies and gentlemen, you heard the expert, the commodity analyst to the stars, telling you that we've got some volatile markets going on. So don't forget about looking at the tools in your toolbox as far as hedging practices. And if you're looking for some ideas on how to do that, don't forget to give us a ring. And with that, let me remind you that we have a litany of stars, not just Jeffrey, but others within the McKinney-Favell Group, that are going to be coming to you live April 27th and 28th. It is the annual Spring Commodity Market Seminar that we put on at McKinney-Favell. I'm telling you, Jeffrey, this is a must see. It's a must hear. We've got to have you coming. And because it's virtual, we've got a seat for every one of you. I want to encourage every one of you to sign up out there. Jeffrey's going to be on this thing. And if you can't wait, you give him a call, you ask him what's going on, and then he'll tease you and tell you, hey, you got to be there. You got to know what's going on. These guys are good. So with that, let's wrap this one up. We can say what Mike always says and live with an attitude of gratitude. Be out there. Everybody start looking at the future. We are going to get through this. Thank everyone for what they're doing and to support your family, your friends, your coworkers. And with that, Jeffrey, thank you for what you do. We appreciate everything you're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. And certainly wishing everyone a very happy Valentine's Day this coming weekend.
That's right. So with that, we'll let you go. Have a wonderful weekend and take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney-Favell's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favell.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.